That as we look into your perfect law of liberty, that the eyes of our understanding may be opened to behold wondrous things out of your laws. Speak to our hearts, O Lord. Indeed, I pray that you will inscribe your words upon the tablets of our hearts, that we will not remain the same after hearing your words, because your words, they are life. It's a life-giving spirit. And I pray, Lord, that we will be changed as we meet with Jesus this morning. I pray that as I decrease, O Lord, that you would increase. Use me as your oracle. I pray, grant me the unction to speak for you. Holy Spirit, you are the one who brings into the hearts the conviction of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, and the work in the heart which no man could do. I pray that you will do this morning, that above all, Christ will be glorified and be seen of all men. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. In the past few weeks, we have been reacquainting ourselves with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just coming back to what the foundation of the Christian faith is all about. Many a times in the course of years, we tend to neglect, forget, lose sight of the reason for which we have been brought to Christ, as many of us as are Christians. And so from time to time, it's a very good thing that we take a step back to reacquaint ourselves and once again look at the foundation, once again look at what we are building, why we are building, why we are Christians, why we come to church Sunday after Sunday. Because I think it'll be a very futile effort, very futile work, if over the years we have been coming to church every Sunday, not enjoying, you know, going out to the tennis courts, going out to the golf course to play 18 holes of golf. We come Sunday after Sunday, and at the end of it all, we have nothing to show for it. And there was a very wise man, I forget what his name is, and Brother Wally, I think you might know, that said that an unexamined life is not a life worth living. Who was it? Was it Aristotle? Aristotle, Socrates, one of those wise people, that an unexamined life is not a life worth living. And so from time to time, we've got to re-examine the reason why we are Christians. And so we began to take a look at the Word of God. Please, can you help me mute that drum? We began to take a look at the Word of God, looking, first of all, at the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, because this is the reason why we are Christians. One, we looked at the deity of Christ. We believe that Christ is God. And I asked the question, if you go out into the neighborhood or into any setting and somebody accosts you and asks you, you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, yeah? You say, yes. Show me in your Bible, did Jesus Christ ever say he was God? How many of us will be able to answer that question? So if we believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and is God, and he himself did not come out rightly to say that I am God, where can we see it in the Bible? Do we know? We also looked at the Lord Jesus Christ in his humanity. The only person in all of human history, in all of heaven, earth, and hell, who is called the God-man. The person who is fully human and fully divine. We looked at why Christ had to come in human form to save us from our sins. Today, I want us to look at some of the things, because we're going to begin to take a look at the work of the Lord Jesus Christ also. And if you will hear the thread that cuts across all the things I've been talking about, it's this person called Jesus. It's this person called Jesus. This person is the reason why we are called Christians. it's this person called Jesus, to reacquaint ourselves with this person called Jesus. So today I'm going to look at a few things about what Christ himself said, what Christ himself did. Look at who Jesus is vis-a-vis the needs of man. Look at our own generation, what Christianity is and what it has come to. And some of the things that we see that are wrong, in which we are not moving in the right direction, to see how can we begin to correct these things. And this is what I want us to open our Bibles to looking at today. So Reverend Michael here. Thank you. That's one of our pastors of the New Covenant Church from Abuja. I said, he called me this morning that he was going to be in church. You're welcome, sir. So let's open our Bibles to the book of John. And I will need some people to help me read this morning. John chapter 6, verses 22 through 35. John chapter 6, 22 to 35. Give it to her. She's going to be reading for me today. Yes, you. I'm going to read this in Mandarin.
Just no, not today.
John 6, starting from 22 to 35.
Okay, verse 22. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there save that one where his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone alone. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh to the place where they did eat bread after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe on him who he has sent. Verse 30. They said unto him, What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and gives life unto the world. Then they said unto him, Lord, give us this bread. Verse 35, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes in me shall never thirst.
Amen. So we'll take a few minutes just to dissect what we have read and to explain it one to another and to pick some nuggets of truth out of what we have read today. The first, in verse 22, it says, on the day following, that is on the next day. So something must have happened on the previous day, because the account we read here is of some people that came to Christ that were seeking him. Some came by boat, some came walking, but it was like a desperate seeking for the Lord Jesus Christ. They came in every way to find this Jesus again on the next day. So what happened on the previous day before we got to this next day? We won't go there, but I'll tell you what happened. What happened on that previous day was that this same Jesus, after he had preached to about 5,000, when he says 5,000, you know, in those days, culturally, they will count the men. They didn't count the women nor the children. And the same thing you will see in the genealogies. And please don't shoot me, I'm only a messenger, you know. But so we're talking of maybe about 10,000 plus or more people there, counting the women and the children. So Jesus Christ had taken of fish and loaves of bread to feed these people. One little boy brought his lunch. And out of his lunch, Jesus Christ miraculously divided the food from one person's lunch to feed over 5,000 people. And what is the basic necessity of any man in the what we call the Maslow's law of hierarchies or hierarchy of laws? The basic necessity of man is what, please? What? Food. Number one, food. And the most basic of all foods, well, in this part of the world, is bread. In the part where I come from is roasted cassava. We call it gari, where you roast it and fry it. It's cheaper than bread, but that is the most basic of... So the most basic of needs of man is bread, food. And so these people came to Jesus because they had gotten so much of this basic need. And anywhere where there is a fountain of flowing need, people will always come back. And so these people, on the following day, seeing what had happened the previous day, they came back seeking for Jesus. Verse 24 says that when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they took boats and came to Capernaum, doing what? Seeking him. If the only thing we read was that verse, seeking him, we would not know the motive behind for which these people sought the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. They came seeking him. Some took boats seeking him. Why? Because the previous day, they had eaten what? Bread. The previous day, they had eaten bread. I will dare say that in the church today, all over the world, there is this newfound thing where there has been an emphasis shift from the person of Jesus to the Jesus meeting the needs of men. There has been a shift of emphasis within the church from knowing and desiring and seeking the person of Jesus to the benefits that Jesus grants. And there's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong because Jesus has come also to meet the needs of man, but not primarily to meet the needs of man. And this is what I want us to take a look at today. Because many of us, we say we come to church, and we have to ask ourselves that existential question. Why do I come to church? Why do I come Sunday after Sunday? I could as well be on the market front making more dollars. I could as well be relaxing from a week's work of playing tennis or relaxing at home. Why do I need to come to church? Why do I need to seek Jesus? And this is one question we all, each person individually, you have to answer for yourselves. Here, these people came seeking for bread. In our own day, when people come to church, the needs that are met are what? Come to Jesus and all of your needs will be met. Come to Jesus, your body will be healed. Come to Jesus, your bank account will flow with milk and honey. Come to Jesus, you will have a husband, you will have a wife. Come to Jesus. You know, I saw something recently of many, many kinds of ministries, you know, ministry of point and kill. Today, today, not tomorrow. I shall find my own. All sorts of things. But you get what I'm saying. We have come to the mountain of today where there has been a shift from the person of Jesus to Jesus Christ only meeting the needs of men. Jesus Christ is not only a historical figure. Jesus Christ is not only a figment of our imagination. Jesus Christ is not only a philosophy to be expounded. Jesus Christ is not only a person we make mental assent to. Yes, I believe that he exists, and that is all. We come to Christ because we have come to a person. We come to church because we have come to meet with a person, not a philosophy. not a religion. We have come to meet with a person. And that person, his name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He existed on earth and he still lives today. And that is the reason why we are Christians. First and foremost, because we have come to meet with a person, to have a relationship with a person. You cannot have a relationship with an ideology. You cannot have a relationship with a philosophy. You cannot have a relationship with a need. The primary reason why you are a Christian and why we are looking at these foundations again is because we have come to meet with a person, to have a relationship with a person. Until that relationship becomes fresh every day, until that relationship becomes current once again, until that relationship becomes engaging, until that relationship becomes something of today that we do not, every time we talk about Jesus in our lives, we have to look back years. Until we have a current, fresh, engaging relationship with Jesus, all we have is manna of old. All we have is what? Manna of old. There came a time when in each and every one of our lives, if you are a Christian and you truly know Jesus, where you met with Christ. I have told you my own story many times in this place, but each person has a story. There came a day when you met with Jesus, where you said, Lord, I surrender my life to you. Become Lord over my life. When we say that word, Lord, it means somebody who now rules your life, who rules over you, who rules over your emotions, your decisions, your all, your everything. There came a time in each person's life when he said, Jesus, become Lord over my life. And then life itself happened. And life is still happening. And many times, because life happens, we forget the kind of love that brought us to that person that we loved in the first place, that we said, I surrender my life to. For some of us, life happened in immigration. For some, life happened in being single and wanting a spouse. For some, life happened in health challenges. For some, life happened in business challenges. But each and every one of us knows how life happens in one way or the other. For some, it is, I want to go to school. Others have gone to school. It is, I want a job. Others have a job. It is, I want some significance. I want promotion. Others have promotion. It is, I want to become director of my workplace. Others become director. I want to be a business. Where would it end? Life will always happen. But in the midst of life happening, we lose sight of the person that we have come to meet with in the first place. And it happens to all of us. Many of the patriarchs of old, and that is why I love the Bible. Because so that no man will think that, yes, I'm extra Superman, nothing has ever shaken me in life. Every character in the Bible, there came a point where life happened to them. Life happened to Abraham. He wanted a child. In that particular society, as it is in many of our societies, if you are barren, you are a curse. If you are barren, it's like an abomination. So you marry, you want a child, and you will do anything to get a child. For 25 years, God gave Abraham a name. From Abraham to Abraham, called him the father of many nations. You can imagine my brother here. For 25 years, people are calling him the father of all boys. The father of all boys. The father of seven boys. And meanwhile, he said, where are the boys? Oh? Girls and boys is the same thing. It's only man's construct that wants boys. But you can imagine what I'm saying. There's a reality that people have ascribed to you, being a man of God or a Christian, which you haven't seen yet, which everybody is expecting, and you think, when would it happen? You are 20 going 30, you are 30 going 40. There's no spouse yet. You are asking, Lord, when will my time be? Life happens. But then the question is that, have we lost sight of the person that we have come to love, called Jesus? Now, let's go back to this story. So they were seeking Jesus. And Jesus Christ, knowing the heart of these people, he said, people, you know something? You are not seeking me because of the miracles you saw yesterday. And please tell me, what was the miracle that happened? Bread was split into multiple portions. You are not seeking me because of the miracle. You are seeking me because of what? Because of your belly. Because of your needs. Bring it into our own modern day Christianity. Why have we come to church? What needs have we come for the Lord to meet? Why am I preaching like this? I'm preaching like this, brethren, because the church is quickly becoming a needs-based center, where people come for God to meet their needs, and once those needs are met, they're gone. And it's as if the person who can say the loudest amen will be the one who will have their needs met. We have to come back to this basic love for Christ once again. Not because he would not meet our needs. Not because I want him to meet our needs. But because he is Jesus and it's a person that we have come to live to meet with. If the only reason why I love my wife is because she makes money for me, makes food for me, washes my dishes and my clothes, keeps the house clean, and I want another need, I say, you know, rub her the right way, the need will pop out. To any person, any sane person, after many years of loving her that way, what will people tell her? Thank you. You are being used. You are being used. This man does not words love you. Why is it so different from Jesus? Why is it so different? On the next day, these people came again because their basic need they wanted met again. And you see, there are three things couched in this story. And if you were to look at it a little bit closely, you will see the three things. One, Christ said to them, you have not come because you saw the miracles, right? You have come because of what? Because of the bread, because you need your belly filled again. So the basic need why one comes to Christ, why some people come to Christ, is to have their belly filled. The second need why people come to Christ is because of the miracles they have come to see. But the paramount need of man himself is that person who has done the miracle, Jesus. And both, every person, everything we need is wrapped around Christ that is right there. Preachers today, and I will not excuse myself, I will count myself amongst them, are predisposed to giving the people quick fixes. Something that temporarily settles their problem. Something that will keep them coming over and over and over again. If the only reason why I tell you to come to Christ is that your enemies will be destroyed, your money issues will be resolved, your bodies will be healed, believe me, you will come over and over again because a need is being met. And that is the predisposition we have in church today. Come to Christ, He will meet your needs. Come to Christ, He will answer your problems. Come to Christ, He will deliver you from your enemies. Come to Christ, just fill in the blank of what you want. Let me tell you the danger of what will happen eventually. You see, where you have enemies and witches and wizards running after you, and then you come to America, do you still see the witches and wizards running after you? You don't see them, right? Back where you come from, it was one grandmother or one of the people in the family that was a witch or wizard, right? Where there was no adequate medical care and they could not diagnose the problem, you've come to America, the problem has been diagnosed, right? Where there was no adequate security and you had to pray to God before you went out in the morning, you've come to America, you don't even think about it before you start your car and lift. Right? Where there was not enough food for you to eat and you had to portion, you know, the piece of meat to so many members of the family, you come to America, we have surplus of meat, surplus of everything. There's no need to pray. The problem with the kind of Christianity that we are practicing today is that we will see, and we are seeing it, we'll begin to see a generation of people, especially our children, who live in a society where it does not take prayer to meet their basic needs, begin to question, why do I need to pray? Why do I need to pray? Because the things that we have invited people to come to Christ for, they, in another society, they're the basic things that the government provides. And because we have sold people a bill of goods that wasn't reality, the offspring will now begin to ask the question, why do I need your God? Is it enemy that was chasing you? I don't have any enemies chasing me. Is it darkness that you don't have electricity? I'm not living in darkness. Is it disease that could not be diagnosed? Well, there are good doctors here that will diagnose the diseases. So why do I really need your God? Is it money? I have it. Why do I need to pray then? That is the question. Why do I still need him? This question arises because Jesus has been presented as a means to an end, not the end itself. Because Jesus has been presented as a means to an end. Come to Jesus and fill in the blank. Not come to Jesus, period. And until, you know, I said that there's been a shift, a paradigm shift. Until we shift back to taking out that fill in the blank, knowing that what he has said, that seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything that you need will be added unto you. And he said not only that, he said that the things that the Gentiles seek after, the things that the people that do not know him, that they are running after, your Father knows that you have need of these things too. And he will provide them for you. But brethren, let's come to the brass tacks of everything. We will keep running and running and running if we do not come back to the fact that it's a relationship first that we have come to seek with in Jesus, not the needs first. Now, in the media, we have been hearing of high-profile suicides that have been happening, right? And I say this, Yes, suicide will happen because we have relegated mental illness to something we don't talk about. But absent mental illness, minus mental illness, where there's no mental illness, I asked myself the question, why would in a society where you have everything, would you feel that there's a need to end it all? In a society where all your needs are met, would you feel you need to end it all? I read an article to us a few years ago, an article in a very reputable news magazine that said that in the Western society, the rate of divorce was multiple times the rate of divorce in African societies. That was many years ago. Recently, I have been seeing an uptick in the rate of, suicide. In the rate of suicide, even in the African societies. And you begin to ask why. You know? And I do not see why we need to go far for the answer. The answer is that we are beginning to adopt the same mores, the same culture, the same etiquette, the same needs of the society in which we live in. And where you begin to see that in this society, having everything doesn't mean that you have everything. Because God did not make the heart of man satisfied with material goods and needs. That is why somebody who still has a disease ravaging their body, who knows Jesus, can say, Lord, I trust you, that in the midst of what I am going through, you are still there for me. Can still have a smile on their face. Somebody who has a bank account of $1 million will have their heart so empty that they will have nothing but to say, I cannot continue, I want to end it all. I do not know whether the people in the media had mental issues, but one thing I know, the people who committed suicide lately, they were not poor. By any standards, they were not poor. Many people, even within the church, we ascribe or we aspire to be like them. Only to find out that, you see, this ladder climbing, taking you to the top of where these people are, when you get there, you'll find that it's as empty as anything. It doesn't satisfy. It doesn't satisfy. Our lack of impact in our spiritual lives today, in the church today, is because Jesus has not been the end, but the means. Our bodies are fed, but our souls languish. God cares about our every need. Don't get me wrong. God cares about our every need. But as he said, we do not have a high priest that is not touched by the feeling of our infirmities. But at every point was tempted, tested, just as we are. Jesus Christ was a man. I had a discussion with just a random person I met at the library a few days ago. You know, person trying to tell me that, Jesus Christ wasn't really a man because he was God. He didn't have to have a man's apparatus. He couldn't be tested like a man. No. That's all hogwash. Jesus Christ was tempted like every one of us were tempted. That is why he's a high priest that is suitable to be the sacrifice for us. Because there's nothing that you can say that you are going through that he did not go through. That is why he is the appropriate person for us to relate to. Ladies, particularly ladies, because having been married to a wife and having a daughter, I know over experience that there are certain things when ladies go through it, they just need somebody to hear them out. Right, honey? To hear them out. It took me many years to recognize that. Well, I won't tell her the secret now, but since we're in church, I have to say it, you know. But there are certain times where, you know, she wants to pour herself out and just talk. And I go into the mood of, yeah. And I've learned the lesson. I've learned that lesson. But I'm listening. I'm in trouble now. You see, the Christ we serve is somebody we can go in that like manner to talk to. He might not answer us the way a human being would, but I have seen that this Christ we serve is faithful, because many times when we bring our problem, our heart's desire, not that just meet my need, I don't want anything to do with you. Not that, okay, I just need this need solved, that is all. I don't want to relate with you. Not that. Where you come as a person who wants a relationship with him, who can pour out your heart as you will relate with a friend, he does answer. He does answer. He does answer. The only reason why many times we find Christianity still, we find Christianity something that is no longer a relationship, but we find prayer as something that we just have to do. We find the reading of the Bible something as just we just have to do. There's no joy any longer. It's because that relational aspect has been taken out of our lives. And we have replaced it with, Lord, meet my needs, period. And if we can get back and shift that paradigm once again to, I want to know you, Lord. I want to relate with you. You said some things in your word. I want to know what you said. I want to know who you are. Reveal yourself to me. I want to be your friend. When we can shift that paradigm back to that, yes, life is happening. Lord, even in the midst of life happening, I need you to walk me through this life. When we can shift that paradigm back to more than just meeting my needs, to relating with him, we will know him. Because God talks, Christ talks. He talks. But he only talks to the heart that is still before him. You will never hear him in the midst of you running here and there, to and fro, in anxiety, in, you know, that panic mode. Everything is just going helter-skelter. You won't hear him there. When you can come to the place where you still yourself, and that is what faith is, brethren. Yes, the world around you is going to blazes. Everything is up and down. But you can still your heart and just say, Lord, in the midst of this, I know that I can be directed by you. I know that I can still relate with you. This is where faith is, brethren. What am I saying this morning? I'm calling us as a people, especially if you say you know Jesus, to come back to that simplicity of knowing who he is. You know, the children have this song, read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day. Pray every day. Read your Bible. Pray every day if you want to grow. It's that simple, brethren. Because Jesus himself said that those who will inherit his kingdom, that they have to be like what? They have to be like little children. We have to come back to this simplicity of knowing him. Lord, I want to know you. It's a simple question. Jesus, I want to know you. Yes, my needs are still there. I know you will meet my needs, but I want to know you. I want to know the God of the Bible. And it's as simple as that. And if over the years you have lost sight of that simplicity, please, I implore you, come back. Come back. Come back. Because Jesus is still knocking on the door of every heart. If you will open up to him, he will come in and he will live with you, he will sup with you, he will dine with you, he will reveal himself to you. I have a book where my prayers, the things I go through in life, where I record them. Ever since I was a young Christian, I have been doing this. From time to time, I go back to that book, just wanting to see how my walk with the Lord has been going. And do you know what I've experienced? The things I pray about and the things that God has done, there's never a time when I open that book that I don't say, Lord, thank you. Some of them, they were not answered immediately. Some of them took years. But do you know the beauty of it? The ones that took years, I even said thank you for not meeting them back then. Because some of the things I asked for, I was a very immature Christian. But these were the things I was taught. Some years ago, I went back into the book. And you know, well, I'll say the truth. Some of the prayers I prayed then, Lord, give me a wife that is light in complexion, that can cook very well, that has a university degree. And God still met all those questions. She's light-skinned, she can cook, she has a university degree. But you see, the thing is that back then, my heart was still that of a child asking for candy. It was like, give me ice cream every day. But when I some of the things, you know, I actually thank God that he didn't answer some of those questions. But you see, when it's all about our needs, when those questions are not answered, we're like, this God is not true. Let me find a solution B. Let me find plan B. But some prayers that we pray, it's for our good that God hasn't answered them yet. On this side of eternity, we will never know how he works what he does, how he plans what he plans, why his answer takes so long at times, why we get into some particular problems. But in that book, there's never a time I've gone into it that I would not say, Lord, thank you. When I look back at the prayers I prayed and the things that are today, when I look back at the people I've prayed for and their lives today, there are some, I won't say it's all thank you. There are some I say, Lord, well, thank you, but it's a difficult pill to swallow. But there are very few. There are very few. So I'm calling you as Christians, and I'm talking to myself also. If we say we believe in Jesus, let us come back to the place where Christ is not a means to an end, but in the end himself. Come to Jesus, period. Not come to Jesus because he will do this and that and that. Just come to him. What he said, and he never lies. The things that you need, he will provide. I have seen him faithful in it. He will provide. The things that you lack, he will provide. Certain things that I have asked for, I've seen, and I will not lie to you. Certain things that I've asked for, he's come to make me realize that I wanted them because there was pride in my heart. Certain things he had to say, grow up, before I could handle them. But in everything, his timing was right. But one thing that he will not trade anybody using him. The Bible says that what a man sows, he will reap. If all you want is for your needs to be met, your needs will be met. But like somebody said, after all needs are met, where you don't have the anchor to anchor your soul, you will find an emptiness. Because man's heart was not made to be satisfied with needs. Man's heart was made by God to be satisfied with Jesus. And he's the answer that I offer each and every one of us today. And he's the person that I'm calling each and every one of us to come and meet with Jesus. He said something here to those people. He said, why do you labor for the bread that does what? It doesn't fill, it perishes. And that's the thing about every need. If your body is made well today, will that body not die eventually? It will. If you have a table, a banquet before you, you will eat all the food in that banquet. Where does it end up? Is brown stuff in the toilets. Everything, it ends up perishing. What's the finest car you could have today? For those who are car aficionados. Sorry? A Bugatti. Okay, so Highlander. You will know, brother, while it's level. a Bugatti. Which model of Bugatti? Oh, so you just know Bugatti. You have Bugatti. Leave a Bugatti. Drive it long enough. You will see that metal would what? Will rust. Live in a house long enough. It will mildew. It will mold. Nothing on this earth eternally satisfies. Only Jesus can. Nothing in this world eternally satisfies. Only Jesus can. And so I'm inviting you, brethren, if you have not had that relationship with him in a long time, come back. He knocks at the door and is ever there waiting. Come back. Relate with him. Hear from him. Not because of our needs alone, but because we want to know him. Let us pray. We know this song, could you sing with me? My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty hand. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath that I am ever cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name.
sing for joy at the works of your hands. Forever I love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Lord Jesus, we come to you because you are a person that we can relate with. You are a God who is not far from us. You are a God whose heart can be touched, who can be appealed to, who can be loved, who can be worshipped, who can be discussed with. You are a God that loves, that is compassionate, that is merciful. And we thank you that we serve a living God. We do not serve a God that is dead, to whom we cannot reach. Jesus, we pray, as I pray for myself also this morning, that we will come back and shift our gaze back onto you. Our needs will ever be before us, O Lord. Our wants will ever be before us, O Lord. Our prayer this morning is that where we have placed you beyond every other thing in life, please forgive us and have mercy. Amen. And bring us back to a loving relationship with you. Your word tells us that you stand at the door and you knock. You knock on the door of our hearts. Lord, help us and teach us how to open the door to you, how to place every need of life secondary to seeking your face, how to place every vicissitude of life, because life will always happen, secondary to seeing you. Jesus, I pray this morning, as we have spoken one to another, encouraging one another to seek your face, I pray that you will reveal yourself to us once again. Revive our hearts, O Lord. Revive our hearts, we pray, that our hearts will beat for you, not because we have needs alone, not because of needs alone, O Lord, but just because you are a person worthy of our love, that we will set our love upon you. So Jesus, please come into our hearts. Have your way. Fill our hearts. Become Lord over all of our hearts. We ask this in your precious name, Lord. Amen. Amen.